dedicating that kind of time to it. Tim, can you take the next report?
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since y'all haven't heard enough about the hospital and medical issues this morning, I'd be more than happy to report on the meeting of the University Healthcare System Committee, which met at 3 p.m. on November 4th via video conference at four university locations throughout the state. We had an ambitious agenda, starting with financials. For the first quarter of fiscal 2014, income and expenses are slightly below budget, resulting in a loss of $1.4 million. This loss is due to two main factors. One is an increase in charity care, basically with which we is out of our control, and a decrease in our Medicaid reimbursement from the state. Now, you may recall the oscillations we had in our Medicaid rates in 2013, and Walt's report mentioned that's still being litigated, if you want to use that term. But what I'm talking about here for fiscal 2014 is the 2014 iteration of trying to arrive at the payment schedules from Medicaid. We are attempting to negotiate a long-term deal to try to avoid these perturbations, but realistically, given the state's finances, that could be a tall order. You know, obviously the state of Illinois is our biggest payer to the hospital, mainly because of our large Medicaid population, and it does put us in a little bit of a precarious financial position. Our next order of business was to review the dashboard. I'll just touch on this briefly. I don't know if we're going to have that presentation later today or not, but just to summarize, performance is incrementally improving on almost all fronts. Needless to say, plenty of ground yet to cover. I also wanted to mention one observation. Utilization of our operating rooms at the hospital is 82%, which is actually quite good use. But the flip side is that we're stymied in terms of increasing our volume. So we are looking into the building or purchasing of an ambulatory surgery center to try to increase our volume on that score. Facilities upgrades are going great guns. The bond money is being put to good use. And we are all invited to visit the hospital at our January board meeting to view firsthand those capital improvements. On the legislative front, the Illinois Medicaid enrollment process is actually proceeding fairly smoothly in contrast to the federal experience. We are actively pursuing enrolling eligible persons to help secure our referral base. We are also looking into the possibility of offering a Medicaid-based accountable care product, which is a capitated product. The thinking is that reimbursement models are headed this way, and this hopefully would position us to have more control of patient referral patterns and offer us the optimal reimbursement rates. Our committee then reviewed pertinent board agenda items for today. First two were Wolcott, Wood, and Taylor, which we dealt with first thing this morning. Then number 15, organizational structure, approved plan for changes to the organizational structure of the Academic Health Center. Doctors Gosht and Bowman will give us a briefing on that to follow. Item 17, approve amendments to the University of Illinois Hospital medical staff bylaws. Item 18, designate the University of Illinois Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act hybrid entity and adopt HIPAA privacy and security compliance policy. And number 16, approve University of Illinois Hospital and Health Sciences System compliance plan. On this last item, compliance plan that is for your vote today represents a lengthy and sorely needed overhaul for an activity that is vital to the integrity and well-being of the medical enterprise, covers such things as billing fraud and personal health information security, just to name a few. I've asked Dr. Chamberlain if he would to give you a short briefing on the scope of this project and to answer any questions you might have. Bill, if you'd be so kind, thank you.
Next slide, please. I think Y'all have a good concept of what compliance is all about. It really needs to be a comprehensive program that helps the institution and their employees conduct operations and activities ethically, legally, and according to regulations. It's always been humbling for me that the compliance programs, actually guidelines for establishing compliance programs come out of the federal sentencing guidelines. Federal government takes this very seriously. One of its number one goals is to reclaim lots of dollars that are spent in healthcare that they feel are spent by Medicare and Medicaid in fraudulent situations. So compliance programs are established in order to enhance the fiduciary responsibility that we have as organizations and to come in line with all of the federal financial reporting and internal control standards. Finally, to meet a lot of the legal regulatory requirements that are established not only, frankly, by the states, but also by the accrediting bodies. Next slide, please. The other aspect of this, in terms of the complexity and the reason for a redo of our compliance plan, because we have a compliance plan in place, there are now more than 45 federal agencies writing law that affect healthcare. And this includes all of the financial regulations that go on. There are issues related to anti-kickbacks. You can't pay physicians for patients. You can't induce them to use financial inducements to have them bring patients in. There are a lot of issues related to false claims acts, which comes under a fraud and abuse heading, particularly related to documentation and changes in documentation. Health clinicians today, in one sense, have lost control of the chart. Used to be a medical chart. Was there to enhance communication between clinicians. Now lots of people have a part of that, so that there are a lot of regulatory aspects. Bills are driven by not just what you're doing for a patient, but by what you document you're doing for a patient. And there are big changes coming down the pike related to that, huge changes in the organizational systems that the federal government and state government are going to use for diagnosis. There are issues related to exclusions. We need to vet any employee through databases that the OIG maintains, different OIGs maintain, related to fraud and abuse. If somebody is convicted of fraud and abuse by Medicare, you are not permitted to hire them. So you need to, in fact, screen every employee. And there are issues about how frequently you screen employees that compliance now is very much getting involved with to advise the organization. Next slide, please. I won't belabor the nine fundamental elements. It's actually expanded over time. But the first up there really is to recognize and designate a compliance authority. I've assumed the position as the first full-time compliance officer for the health system. Up to this point, I have had compliance as a responsibility, but my major responsibilities were as chief medical officer. So now the organization has recognized that compliance really needs somebody to put a full-time job into that. So we're developing a much more aggressive staff and dealing with the rest of these issues. Next slide. To operate that program effectively, we need to assure as a compliance organization that the policies and procedures are in place, that they reflect federal state rules and regulations. They have to be accessible to the organization, and we need to spend an enormous amount of time training. I think in the past, in fact, when we talk about training here, we're not talking about educating clinicians about how to be clinicians. We're talking about educating clinicians about how they need to document their programs. So we are really putting more resource now into that. Compliance's responsibility also is to develop and review benchmarks and goals within departments to measure the effectiveness of those programs. We are identifying audit tools that can be used throughout the organization in a variety of different settings. And most importantly, we have to maintain open lines of communication. Organizations to be compliant need to keep up. And that means we get lots of questions related to what's reasonable, what's unreasonable, what's legal, what's not legal. Next slide, please. This is the way that this plan suggests that the compliance organization will work. And there is language in the plan, given the fact that that we're considering a reorganization of the structure. There is language in the plan that that will accommodate any organization that the board chooses to bring to the health system. Right now, we've had very good communications and cooperation between Provost Kaufman and Vice President Bauman. They are jointly co-chairing a health science governance committee, which is composed of the deans of the health science colleges as well as others. As compliance officer, I've been running an operations group for a considerable period of time, which has compliance officers from each of the colleges. And we intend to do a great deal more work with that group and I will say professionalize that group. There are actually very few certified compliance officers. It's a reasonably new field. Within the university, we've got lots of people in different compliance functions, and we're going to now look at how we can develop that group in a more aggressive manner. Next slide. And this just refers to those. So the governance committee has as its co-chairs, as I indicated, the VPHA and provost, and as well as other compliance officers. On the health operations side, which is the committee that I chair, we have lots of different people represented from across the university, across the campus, and across the university. Next slide. Our current priorities, I think you are all going to help today with respect to HIPAA, not only in terms of the designation of the HIPAA entity or redesignation of the units within the HIPAA entity, but also deal importantly with assigning different responsibilities for that entity. And that relates to the complexity of this organization. The IT systems, for instance, I could state categorically that the medical center's IT system is a very secure environment for medical information. I think they do an excellent job, and repeated audits have demonstrated that. But from a university perspective, healthcare information is also contained in each of the health science colleges. When physicians write notes to referring physicians, they write notes within their own departments. That's not part of the medical system complex. And therefore, we need to assure that all of those different systems are secure. Right? And that means dealing within the College of Medicine, for instance, with 30 different departments. So there's a lot of work to be done to assure ourselves that all of that information is secure. We have clinical research issues, particularly with respect to coverage analysis. The federal government is really looking to support research, but they want bills done in specific manner. And they have recently changed rules related to that and enhanced the implementation of some of those rules. Revenue cycle issues, I talked to clinician documentation issues a bit. We also have to deal regularly with recovery audit contractors. Those are organizations that the federal government has retained to look at records and identify records where the bills are not correct and recover money. So virtually every hospital in the country is undergoing recovery audits, and virtually all of them are paying money back to the federal government for what the federal government feels is inappropriate documentation. And the last slide, I think I'll entertain any questions you all may have.
It's a time for a break. Let me ask you this. There's nothing quite as intimidating as a call or a meeting with a compliance officer from any organization, and obviously more serious when it involves federal sentencing guidelines. But how will we work to develop a balance between, let's say, compliance and compassion? That's not a very artful way to put it, but I'd say the last couple of times I've seen a medical professional, they've spent the whole time looking at a laptop, you know, sort of listening to me, but really responding to prompts and fields rather than having a full-on interview. It's very off-putting from a patient perspective, and they probably miss, you know, the core issue. in those sessions?
Yeah, I'm not going to have a real good answer to that. I think related particularly to the increasing burden of requirements. Talking to somebody just briefly before about the fact from a documentation perspective, for instance, when we talk about cost in healthcare and we talk about priorities in healthcare, a typical nurse within within the university system earns anywhere from $85,000 to $100,000 a year, and they now spend 40% of their time with documentation. So it's actually getting to the point where they spend, to your point, less and less time with the patients. And I think for physicians, it's becoming very much the same. So we have looked to, as a system, we've looked to hope that programs like the information systems and electronic systems will improve efficiency. Unfortunately, that really has not turned out to be the case. I think most physicians would agree that trying to use electronic systems, in fact, reduces productivity. For some of the, again, to point to the reason that, or the experience you're stating, physicians are spending a lot more time taking care of records than they are necessarily taking care of patients. So it's a balance. We have to search for a new midpoint, and that's one of the things that we will work hard to do with our compliance organization.
And is that something we can do intentionally? That is that something we can charge you with? That is, could you come back, or just give us the best thinking? You know, people have thought through this issue, but perhaps you could educate the trustees on where the most advanced thinking is around that issue today.
Yes, I'd be happy to.
Okay, thank you. I look forward to your summary of that in the minutes.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, this concludes my report unless there are any questions. Our next meeting, January 13th, 2014, 3 p.m. at the same four venues. Right, that's what I was, that's my last sentence.
Okay.
And as I say, unless there are any other questions, I'd like to turn the floor over now to Drs. Vijit Ghosh and Jerry Bauman to bring you up to date on the medical governance project.
Jerry. We have done a little division of labor. I'll make an opening statement, and we'll both respond to any questions that you might have.
Thanks. That's all right. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Kurtz, and members of the board, and President Easter. The board item that's being referred to presents a framework for organizing the academic health center, which comprises the University of Illinois Hospital, the clinics, and the health science colleges in the Chicago campus. It combines it into a single organizational structure. That's the framework that's being presented by the president. And the president is making this recommendation after detailed discussions among administrators, faculty, and staff, and of course a day-long retreat that this board had in July that brought in experts from around the country. The motivation for this proposed framework is to achieve a number of very important and necessary organizational alignments. And I'd like to stress a couple of those. A major differentiation of a university-based hospital from the non-university counterparts is the integration of the clinical mission with the teaching and research missions. That's what differentiates university-based hospitals. So what this proposed framework does is to try to strengthen the connection amongst those different missions through a formal organizational alignment that has really been missing from the Academic Health Center in the past. So that's one form of alignment that this framework really does. And by aligning the clinical and educational missions, the health center can then better leverage the benefits of research and teaching with advanced clinical care to better serve the health needs of the citizens of this state and address the disparities in health outcomes among them. Such integration will better position the clinical enterprise also to respond to the rapidly changing healthcare environment. And at the same time, it will also benefit the health science colleges through better integration of clinical practice into the training of healthcare professionals. So that's one kind of alignment that this framework is trying to achieve. A second alignment is alignment among the health science colleges. The framework proposes a single unified leadership for the clinical enterprise as well as the health science colleges located in at UIC. So there's seven of them, the colleges of applied health sciences, dentistry, medicine, nursing, pharmacy, and social work, and the School of Public Health. The deans of these academic units have recommended this change unanimously with the goal of creating a single integrated leadership for all the units of the Academic Health Center. UIC is one of the few universities in the country that has a full complement of health science colleges. This trend provides unique opportunities to create innovative interdisciplinary programs which integrate scholarship across the entire mission of student education, research, as well as patient care. To date, these opportunities have not been fully explored. The proposed structure will lead to a comprehensive and sustained collaboration among the health science colleges that will create opportunities in training innovatively the next generation of healthcare professionals and create a true differentiation of the Academic Health Center at University of Illinois with other. We can really leverage the strengths that we have built through our history of having seven health science colleges. This organizational structure will allow us to truly leverage that strength, which we have not so far in a full extent. To implement this framework, the president proposes that the current position of vice president for health affairs be replaced by a vice chancellor for health affairs who will report to the chancellor at the UIC campus. The heads of the clinical care delivery units, as well as the deans of the health science colleges, would report to this one person. So it integrates the responsibility in a single individual. Now, I should note that given the importance of the healthcare mission to the university's mission at large, and given the importance of the budget of the healthcare enterprise to the budget of the university, it is expected that the president will continue to maintain oversight and involvement with the healthcare enterprise, especially the hospitals and the clinic. But the incumbent of this new position will be responsible for developing a comprehensive strategy to enhance the Academic Health Center's mission, establish goals for the different units, and work with the respective unit officers to implement those goals. The Vice Chancellor, in collaboration with other campus officers, will develop a unified budget for the Health Center and be responsible for reaching financial targets. At the same time, the Vice Chancellor will also work to develop opportunities for collaboration with other units within UIC and the rest of the university. And this is very important because the health science colleges still need to maintain a strong relationship with the other part of the campus as well as other. For example, we have a Department of Bioengineering, which is jointly managed by the College of Medicine and the College of Engineering. So those kinds of relationships really need to continue as we move forward. While creating this kind of overall alignment, the structure would keep separate the day-to-day management of the clinical and academic operations and would retain oversight of the practice plans associated with the health science colleges with their respective deans, consistent with the statute and law and the university statutes. The units of College of Medicine, Nursing and Pharmacy, located at Moline, Peoria, Rockford, and Urbana, will continue to report to the deans of those respective colleges at UIC as they do currently. That aspect is not changed in this proposal. Overall, the proposed structure will allow for more nimble organizational decision-making, leading to greater organizational effectiveness. Allocation of resources between the clinical and academic missions will be streamlined, and an integrated strategic plan can be developed for the benefit of all the units. And again, for the first time, we will have a healthcare organization with a single point of responsibility and authority. In proposing this organization framework, the president has repeatedly stressed our commitment to serve the healthcare needs of the state with high aspirations and high performance. The proposed changes are intended to pave the path towards the goal of making the academic health center and each unit within it leaders amongst its peers. The president plans to lead further discussion in implementing these changes. Today's board item would direct the president to present a detailed implementation plan for consideration by the board as soon as possible, but not later than the March meeting of this board. Thank you. We'd be happy to answer questions.
Is it your anticipation that between now and March or the delivery date of the plan that there would be ample time to meet with the faculty and others affected by these changes to ensure that their insight is incorporated into whatever we do in the future?
That would be absolutely a part of those discussions to hold, with, especially with the UIC Senate Executive Committee, as well as Dr. Bauman and the other deans have already had discussions with individual faculties in individual colleges. We'll probably do more sharing of our plan with them, get their feedback. So that will definitely be part of the discussion. I think part of the discussion also, part of the planning, also would have to involve looking at how other places have tried to sort of resolve some of the issues that they have and learn from those kinds of benchmarking in that process.
And I might just point out, Mr. Chairman, that starting back, I think, in August, we met myself, Jerry Bauman, and Avija Ghosh with the deans of the health sciences colleges and their associated leadership. We've met with the executive committee of the Senate. I met with the University Senate's conference and presented this plan. We've also had a town hall meeting with faculty and the affected health sciences colleges. So we've had quite a lot of conversation, but as it's very correctly pointed out, there are a great deal of details to moving a plan like this forward, and we need to be fully conscious of different perspectives and how the issues that need to be realized to make it work effectively are actually understood and addressed. So we're committed to those additional conversations.
Okay. Are there any additional questions?
I just wanted to say I think from our discussions, it's clear that the board views this whole academic medical center, health enterprise, hospital, that whole environment as a top priority for the whole university and for President Easter. And we're in concurrence with the proposal, recognizing there are details to be worked out, but it's an urgent priority.
I agree. Thank you for those comments. Okay, thank you all.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you for your comment.
Tim, are you now really done?
Yeah. unless you'd like me to go on.
No, that was very helpful. Thank you. Karen, maybe I'd ask you as chair of the Academic and Student Affairs Committee to...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The meeting of the Academic and Student Affairs Committee was held yesterday, November 13th. Present were trustees Cunningham, Estrada, Hollins, Holmes, and Leibowitz. In addition to the university staff, we were joined by Richard Rorcasi, a trustee on the board of the Southwest Illinois College, which was visited by President Easter, Trustee McMillan, and I. We had an excellent meeting with them, and one of their trustees suggested getting together for our meeting, and so we welcomed him yesterday. He was here earlier,
he's
I
back
think.
Back.
There he is. Right
welcome.
There.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming. We began by approving the minutes of the meeting of September 11th, 2013. We then reviewed and now recommend the following items for approval today. Appointments to the faculty, administrative professional staff, and intercollegiate athletic staff. Appoint task force on open access. Award honorary degree at Urbana to George Andrews, establish the Bachelor of Science in Learning and Education Studies, College of Education, Urbana. Establish the Center for Business and Public Policy, College of Business, Urbana. Rename the Center for a Sustainable Environment as the Institute for Sustainability, Energy, and Environment, Office of the Vice Chancellor for Research, Urbana. Eliminate the Doctor of Education in Human Resource Education, College of Education, and the Graduate College, Urbana. Eliminate the Doctor of Education in Special Education, College of Education, and the Graduate College, Urbana. Award honorary degrees at Chicago to Etherin Cousin, Xing Tung Yao, and Richard M. Daly. Presentation to the committee included the context of FY15 tuition and financial aid given by Vice President Christophe Pierre. He also provided an update on fall 2013 enrollments. Lastly, Provost Lynn Pardee presented Transforming Lives Through Diversity and Engagement. We had no old business or new business. Because of the timing of our January retreat, our next meeting is March 5th, 2014 at 3 p.m. in Urbana. We adjourned at 4:40. This concludes my report, Mr. Chairman. I would ask, as you all leave here today, it's already been mentioned to me a couple times, to notice the beautiful trees in the ring road that we're always so proud of at our university. So that would leave all of us, I hope, with a positive attitude going forth. I also want to note that we'll be back in Springfield, fortunately, for Lobby Day in May 2014. I'm delighted to see that change to our schedule. It makes so much sense that we're here then. Being back in Springfield will provide us a great opportunity to meet with our legislators at such a critical time during the legislative session. One of the items we reviewed yesterday is the approval of the Task Force on Open Access, which is a new thing for us. Dr. Christophe Pierre will now provide us with background on that item.
Welcome, Christophe.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Trustee Acera. This item arises from Senate Bill number 1900, which is called the Open Access to Research Articles Act, ORA. The act was sponsored by Senator Daniel Biss. It passed both houses of the Illinois General Assembly in May 2013 and was signed into law by Governor Quinn. The Open Access Act stipulates that by January 1, 2014, the Board of Trustees at each Illinois public university shall establish an Open Access to Research Articles Task Force. The Act specifies voting membership by employee category and calls for one or more non-voting members who represent the interests of publishers of scholarly journals. The purpose of the task force is to investigate the best ways to meet open access goals, to review how peer institutions and federal funding agencies are approaching these goals, and to consider the legal, ethical, and fiscal ramifications of open access policies and practices. And the Act identifies a number of clusters of issues raised by open access to which the task force must respond in its report. By January 1, 2015, 1 year later, the task force shall adopt a report setting forth its findings and recommendations. And the task force report will include a detailed description of any open access policy the task force recommends, as well as, in the case of the public university, a plan for implementation. So a task force will come up with a policy, an open access policy to recommend to the board, and a plan for its implementation. We have agreements from the people who are identified in the task force rosters submitted to the board, which you have, that they will serve on the task force. I'm pleased that John Wilkin is the Dean of Libraries at the Urbana campus, has agreed to chair the task force, and at his direction, background work in several areas of study has already begun. So on behalf of ESSAC, I recommend to BOT to appoint this open access task force.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Christoph or for Karen? Karen, I had one question. Is it possible by the May meeting for IDOT to complete the work on the bridge?
Probably not.
Okay. There you go. So I think we're going to go to public comment at this point, which will allow us to have Brian Kay wants to speak on one of the issues that we're voting on to speak before the vote actually takes place. It's a little out of sequence, but out of respect for Brian, we're going to work that out.
Everybody can ooh and ah over my new iPad. Good afternoon, Chairman Kennedy, Board of Trustees, and good afternoon, everyone. I appreciate this opportunity to speak at today's meeting about the restructuring of the administration of the UIC Hospital, the clinical services operated by UIC, and the UIC Health Science Colleges. And my comments are timely. I appreciate providing them now and at the end of today, and certainly they build on your question and President Easter's response. So I'm Vice Chair of the UIC Senate, and I'm representing the Senate today in my comments. I have three brief points to make. First, we'd like to thank University Administration for taking a deliberate and thoughtful approach regarding reorganization of the administration of the health sciences enterprise at UIC. We welcome the plan to return control of the health sciences enterprise locally, i.e. back to the UIC campus. We appreciate that your plans are aligned with ours and not breaking UIC into two units, and that we share common principles about restructuring. Our objectives are to ensure a strong economic, medical, and academic footing for UIC Hospital and the patient care enterprises, and to use this moment to enhance all of UIC. The hospital and its clinical enterprises are integral to UIC, the University of Illinois, and the people of the state. Second, through the process of faculty participation, we've developed a report outlining clarifications we seek and our concerns regarding the restructuring of the UIC Hospital, the clinical services operated by UIC, and the UIC Health Sciences Colleges. This report represents the summation of the views by the Senate Executive Committee and an ad hoc committee composed of faculty members, staff, and students. And it was presented on October 20th to the President, Chancellor Alan Mears, Interim Vice President Dean Bauman, Provost Kaufman, UIC Deans, and Professor Gersh. We hope that this document, which provides an insight into the views of the faculty, will serve as a template for discussion and resolution of the many issues and questions that remain unresolved. And third, we urge the board and administration to continue faculty participation in planning for the future, and today's proposed action plan for changes to the administration organizational structure of the Academic Health Center is an excellent starting point, the final structure of which will be based on in-depth discussions with all stakeholders. With the rapidly changing face of healthcare and medical education in our country currently, we recognize that UIC needs to develop a model which is flexible and nimble, and that time is of the essence. We promise that the dialogue with UIC stakeholders, albeit spirited and impassioned at time, will occur in a thoughtful, constructive, and timely manner. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Brian. I think we go right into the votes. Can we do that?
Yes.
Should we just go ahead and take the votes? I think that would be helpful. Do you all mind?
Sure.
I think we'll take the votes before taking the break. That way we can be assured that as many people as possible are here to participate. There are two sets of votes that we're going to take for the two agendas. One is the regular voice vote agenda with several items. The rest of the items are part of what's called the roll call agenda, and we'll do the voice vote agenda first. The items for the regular agenda were listed in the materials distributed to the board and posted on our website. The secretary, Susan Keyes, will read the title of all items, and after she's read them, we can discuss any open issues that anyone might have, although I understand all of the agenda items have been distributed to each of the board members, and each of us has had a chance to speak with President Easter, the relevant staff member, for clarification, and of course, we've had some time to discuss some of these things in executive session as well, so hopefully there won't be a great need for additional clarification. After the discussion, we'll vote on all of the items, and we'll vote at once, and we'll vote as a group. Of course, if anybody wants to vote independently on any one issue, they can just make that clear to Susan.
Trustee Holmes right now.
Okay.
So she can vote.
There are one participant on the call, including you. You're joining your conference as the host. When you have available commands, star pound.
Okay. I've spoken with Trustee Holmes, and she's very supportive of the items. That, of course, I don't have her proxy. I don't think I can do that. But I do know that she would be supportive of proceeding without her at this point. Susan, will you read the title of the items, please?
I sure will, on the regular agenda. A1, approve minutes of Board of Trustees meetings. Number 1, resolution regarding hearing pursuant to Article 10 of the University Statutes. Number 2, approve extension of the Chancellor of the University of Illinois at Chicago and Vice President of the University of Illinois, Chicago. 3, appointments to the faculty, administrative, professional staff, and intercollegiate athletic staff. 4, appoint Vice Chancellor for Development, Chicago, and Senior Vice President, University of Illinois Foundation. 5, appoint member to the Athletic Board, Urbana. 6, approve revisions to the University of Illinois Policy, Federal Family and Medical Leave Act. 7, appoint Task Force on Open Access. 8, award honorary degree, Urbana. 9, award honorary degrees, Chicago. 10, establish the Bachelor of Science in Learning and Education Studies, College of Education, Urbana. 11, establish the Center for Business and Public Policy, College of Business, Urbana. 12, rename the Center for a Sustainable Environment, Office of the Vice Chancellor for Research, Urbana. 13, eliminate the Doctor of Education in Human Resource Education, College of Education and the Graduate College, Urbana. 14, eliminate the Doctor of Education in Special Education, College of Education and the Graduate College, Urbana. 15, approve plan for changes to the organizational structure of the Academic Health Center as revised. 16, approve University of Illinois Hospital and Health Science System Compliance Plan. 17, approve amendments to the University of Illinois Hospital Medical Staff Bylaws, Chicago. 18, designate the University of Illinois Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act Hybrid Entity, and adopt Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act Privacy and Security Compliance Policy.
Thank you, Susan. Mm-hmm. Is there any discussion?
Oddly enough, I have one thing I would like to just bring up.
Please.
It's not to vote against any of these, but just a note on items 8 and 9. These are the honorary degrees. When I saw that in the agenda, I asked for information on what percentage of the honorary degrees over the course of the history of the university have been awarded to women. And I did not ask about minorities, but I'm sure they could gather that information as well. And so just so everybody knows what I know, since 1891, in the combining all the universities that are the campuses, there have been 511 honorary degrees awarded, and 13% of those have been awarded to women. It's gotten a little bit higher than that if you go back just over the last 20 years. But I thought that was interesting to note, and I know that we don't get involved in the early part of the process as names are vetted, but no, it seems to me it's an appropriate thing to observe.
Noted. Thank you. I think, you know, self-awareness becomes a great point of departure for any effort to change behavior, and that's a wonderful thing that you've revealed to us about our behavior, and I'm sure as a result of that it will change in the future. Thank you. Okay, if there is no more discussion, may I have a motion to pass these items?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we're gonna go on, but before we do, I just wanna say to Paula how lucky I feel to have you as our leader in Chicago for at least another year. You know, you're highly respected everywhere I go in Chicago, and everyone always points out to me what a wonderful asset you are to the entire university. So thank you for agreeing to that.
Thank you. Thank you.
We have something from Mr. Cunningham.
Sorry. I'm not voting on item number one, but I will be voting yes to 2 through 18.
Okay. Sorry about that.
I'm not voting for that option either. I'm also voting the same way.
Okay.
And if I could make the same comment that I'm also not voting on item number one, but I am for 2 through 18.
Okay, thank you. The next session is the roll call agenda, and these are the items that specifically require a roll call vote where we'll go around the table. We'll vote individually by trustee, but we'll attempt to do this on the entire collective package. Of course, if anyone would like to vote uniquely on any one item, we can arrange that. Susan, will you please read the items on the roll call agenda?
Certainly. 19, amend fiscal year 2014 services and management agreement for the University of Illinois Foundation. 20, approve design for addition and renovation, chemistry annex building, Urbana. 21, award contract for Stanley O. Eikenberry Commons, Residence Hall Number 3, Urbana. 22, award contract for renovation and addition, State Farm Center, Urbana. 23, approve budget increase and award contract for Chez Family Foundation Center for Wounded Veterans in Higher Education, Urbana. 24, approve purchase recommendation. 25, authorize settlement Wyatt versus Baleen. And 26, disclose certain minutes of executive sessions pursuant to Open Meetings Act. Thank you.
Okay, is there any discussion? So Susan, can you call the roll?
We need a motion.
Is there a motion?
So move.
Second.
Okay. Now can you call the motion?
I would be happy to.
Please, thank you.
Mr. Cunningham.
Yes to all.
Mr. Estrada.
Yes to all.
Mr. Fitzgerald.
I'm abstaining on procurement votes, so if I have that right, I'm voting yes on the number 19, because I think that's not a procurement, it's just an amendment. I'm voting yes on the unsealing minutes in the Open Meetings Act, and I just lost my page again, but I'm abstaining on the rest. And there might have been one other that's non-procurement. I'm sorry. You want to come back to me, I'll
get the right. We'll make sure we get it right.
Chance to get it together over there.
Ms. Hacera. I lost it.
Ms. Hacera.
Yes to all.
Mr. Hollins.
Yes to all.
Ms. Holmes.
Yes to all.
Thank you. Mr. Kennedy.
Yes to all.
Dr. Kortz.
Yes to all.
Ms. Leibowitz.
Yes to all.
Mr. McMillan.
Yes to all.
Mr. Montgomery.
Yes to all except 25, with respect to which I abstain.
That's how it's done.
And thank you, Chris. And 25 is the other one I could vote for. So it works out well.
Okay, I need to make sure I get this straight. And Ms. Strobel.
Yes to all with the exception of item 22, and I will abstain or recuse myself from that to avoid any appearance of a conflict since I sit on the State Farm Board.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you all. I think at this point it would be great to adjourn the open session, go into executive session. And in order to do that, it would be great to have a motion to do so. I have to say what we're going to talk about. University employment or appointment-related matters, collective negotiating matters, pending, probable, or imminent litigation against, affecting, or on behalf of the university.
So move.
Okay. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Are we staying here? Or are we
no, we're going to G.
Okay, so our group is going to move to room G.
Paid time and a half.
Okay.
We're going to G.